When it comes to building a business online, we are surrounded with the idea that the only way to be successful is to hustle our way to the top and bug everyone we know. It doesn't have to be that way. My name is Brooke Elder, and after 10 years of direct sales experience and training over 10,000 consultants, I have learned that being an authentic influencer is the key to success. I am on a mission to help you find your influence so that you can start blessing the lives of others. Join my team and I as we talk about new ideas, strategies, and tips on how to build a purpose-driven business that is authentic to you. Hey, authentic influencers, I am so excited to bring to you a very amazing person I just met. Her name is Laura Bull. I said that right, right?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome.
You can't mess that one up.
I know, right? Like sometimes though, like I say someone's name and they're like, no, that's not how you pronounce it. And
I'm People actually ask me how to spell that one more often than my maiden name, which was
really?
McKinley. So yeah, it's like, okay, it's Bull, like the animal.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, and even with Elder, people don't know how to spell Elder. I'm like, that's a pretty common word.
Yeah, that is a common word. That's funny.
You know, so yeah. Well, I am just so excited to hear about like your whole journey, and I love that you are helping people to become powerful influencers, and that's really what this podcast is really all about. So I'd love to hear your story and kind of how you got into this.
Well, so I've always worked with, I've worked with influencers since before they were called influencers, right? So I'm really on a crusade, if you will, to redefine the term influencer. An influencer is really anybody who is selling themselves as the product, right? So I am the face of my book because I'm the author who wrote it, right? And so therefore I am selling myself because I have to sell you on me to like me and who I am and what I stand for before you go buy my book. So that's an example of an influencer. And so my career, I started in the music business, and I worked at Sony Records for over 10 years, working my way up until I was the head of marketing and artist development for Arista RCA Records, which is working with, you know, you're not branding RCA Records. Nobody cares about RCA Records. You're branding Carrie Underwood and Brad Paisley and, you know, Alan Jackson, Johnny Cash. Like, these are global influencers, right? So I always like to remind people that influencing is not just content creators, which is the online aspect of it, even though that has taken over the word.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
An influencer really only is successful if they can influence their audience to their perceived notions of the world and their thought processes and their values. That's what makes an influencer an actual influencer. So you can be a superstar, which is who I focus on in my book just because that's easier to explain, but you can also be the local town mayor or a clergy member. You know, you influence a population every time you step up to the pulpit. And so that's really how I'm trying to redefine the whole term in the first place.
I love that. And even like, I mean, I'm thinking about our listeners in network marketing and things like that. Like, they create a Facebook group of all their people and they go live in that group, and that's their platform. You know,
100%.
It's just creating a platform to be able to do that.
Yeah. And so, you know, you look at the different communication channels, and there's 1,000, you know, for us to use. Well, there's really not that 1,000, but, you know, we have plenty of platforms. So, you know, George Clooney, huge influencer, not on social media. Yeah. He's literally out there changing the world, but he just doesn't happen to have a social media account, you know? And sometimes it actually makes sense for a business not to have social media. Although I would not say that about an MLM.
Right.
Social media is a part of the brand in that situation. But again, it's all about being authentic on what those outlets are that you choose. That's part of the authenticity of it. So.
Right. Because if you don't really love Instagram, like, don't try to build a following on Instagram.
Don't do it. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Right, yeah. Go where you focus and where you actually enjoy and can communicate what your brand is authentically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if someone's like coming to you and they're like, all right, I want to be an influencer and I need to create this brand because I need to sell myself and I can't sell my products, I'm selling myself. Like what, I know you have like some steps that people need to take to be able to do that.
Yeah, so I think it's a big deal to understand first and foremost the difference between branding and marketing. So marketing is what you want to say for the next 20 days. It's your marketing campaign. It's, you know, maybe an advertising campaign. Branding is what you want to say for the next 20 years. So whatever you're selling today versus what you're going to sell 20 years from now, you really need to be the same person and the same brand. Because, you know, like Arbonne products, they're going to change over time, right? It's not going to be the same hair care that they're doing today. And you really have to be able to stand true to who you are and what the core is about those products, regardless of what shape it actually comes in. So, and I call it form, what form it actually comes in. So whatever you're selling, you know, think about a Miranda Lambert. She sells wine. She sells music. She sells t-shirts. You know, she sells home decor, you know, all, no matter, but everything has the same theme along to it. Everything still has Miranda Lambert branded into what that is that she's selling. And that's what you're really looking for.
Gotcha. So how would someone go about defining what that like their magic sauce is?
Yeah. So I think the first thing that's important to know is that you have to look within yourself before you look outward. Okay. So yes, it does matter how you stand in the marketplace in order to be unique. And that does matter because your brand does need to be unique across all the other people that are out there doing the same thing. But if you look inward, you already are unique. So it's really important to pull out your personality traits, your strengths, define your purpose. And the best way to explain the difference between passion and purpose for me is like, okay, if somebody comes up to me and says they like to sing, that's great. So does a million other people. That's your passion. That's fantastic. But I'm not going to invest in a passion. I'm going to invest in a purpose. So what is the purpose and why are you singing? And that's, you know, that's the key. So why are you selling the product that you're selling? And what does that do for, you know, society as a whole or you in the long run? And then also defining success for that person. You know, what you think is successful may not be the same thing as what somebody else thinks is successful. So only you can define that for yourself. So first off, all of those things come together to give you that personality, the values, the morals. And then you take all of that and you incorporate it within traditional branding practices. So I use what I call the brand matrix, and that's really a Venn diagram. And in one bubble, you're looking at product, and another bubble, you're looking at image, and in another bubble, you're looking at narrative. And where those three bubbles come together in the center, those elements that you can apply to all three bubbles, that is the cohesive brand pillars that you're looking for. Okay. So an example, let's take Nike for an example, a shoe and the types of shoes and what the shoes do, all of that would end up in the product bubble, right? The swoosh and the packaging and the fonts and all of anything visual representation of the shoe is going to be in the image bubble. And then the narrative is going to be just do it. It's going to be what the message is and what the personality traits are, right? So if you're talking about a Jeep, just sidetracking for a second, most marketers put a personality onto the Jeep to sell the Jeep. So they're putting outdoorsy and fun and spontaneous, and those are personality traits that are put onto the Jeep in order to find a target audience to sell it. We already have these personality traits, so that's what needs to go in that narrative bubble, and that's what needs to become part of your brand just naturally. If you do that, and all three of those bubbles, again, you find where it is in the center that makes sense, that's what's going to sell something over the long term. So if going back to the Nike thing, 20 years, they started that campaign, Just Do It, in like 89. Okay, so how many years is that?
That's a long time.
30 years. That's been a while. So that campaign has become consistent, even though it's evolved over time, obviously, for modernization and stuff. But now the Nike brand is so ingrained in America's psyche that you can see the swoosh. You don't need to see a shoe. You don't need to see anything like athletic wear, and you don't need to see Just Do It. But you immediately, if I see the swoosh, I think Just Do It, and I think Nike immediately. Same thing if I see Nike, you think Just Do It. All of these three things have to work together in order to really develop a successful long-term brand.
I love that. And like I was thinking when you were talking about the Jeep and stuff like that and comparing that back to Nike, with their slogan being Just Do It, that's a kind of person that they're marketing to, you know, has those personality traits, you
yeah.
know.
So you're finding, so when you talk about shared, or when you talk about your audience that you're trying to target, the first thing you have to do is find a shared identity with that audience. What is it from you as a person, as an individual, that somebody else is going to understand and relate to? That shared value, that shared identity is key to being authentic, because when you hear the term authenticity when it comes to marketing, everybody always thinks about outward. Well, I'm being my authentic self, and therefore everybody should see me as authentic. Well, that's not how that goes, because if I'm an audience member and I don't understand that person's authenticity with my perception of the world, then it's not going to make sense. And I will see it as inauthentic. So guess what? I'm not that person's target audience, and that's okay. You know, you're not going to be able to please everybody. So you really want to focus on who you do have that shared identity with so that you can build a bigger audience.
And that makes so much sense, thinking about, like, because the people that we say are like inauthentic, or when people in network marketing feel like they're inauthentic, it's usually because they're doing things that other people are telling them to do, like cold message people, and like, you know, uplines are saying message 20 people a day and like do all your reach outs and stuff like that, which it does work for some people. And that's because it's there, it's authentic to them, and they're attracting those people that it is in line with them.
Yes.
But that's just a small portion of network marketing.
Well, that's the sales portion of network marketing. That's not the branding, right? And that's really not even marketing. So if you're my husband is a recruiter for a mortgage company, and he does the same thing. He has found that if he has an X amount of people that he calls on a weekly basis, then that is a return of X amount. And he's very, very successful at it. I mean, he goes in for the kill. he will sell it if he can get somebody on the phone, right? But that is, I could never do that. That doesn't make sense for me. I'm not going to start phone calling people to sell my book. You know what I mean? So it's about cold calling is a strategy that you put into place for your brand.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That, and it doesn't mean that like that is the only strategy you have to put into your business to make it work. But everyone feels like you have to be like put into this box.
No,
if you don't fit in that box, like network marketing is never going to work for you.
Well, and here's another thing. And this is another way to look at it. When you figure out what your brand is, and it's all about focusing, and it's all about bringing in to just a few core elements of a brand, the funny thing is that it opens up so like an infinite amount of marketing possibilities, even though you're focused. Like you think that's backwards, right?
Right.
But the more focused you are on your brand, the more marketing strategies that you can come up with. And so you can actually take it and then be really, really creative. And I will tell you, the people that have been unique and authentic are the people that are successful influencers.
Absolutely. 100%.
You don't necessarily want to do what everybody else is doing. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right. You want to take those things, like you said, the unique gifts and talents and strengths that you have, and then find out how can you relate with other people. I love that.
Yeah. And then there's also, you know, psychology behind it. You know, I always tell everybody in my book, this is part of the process, because there's exercises in every single chapter of my book, and it goes from positive psychology and the psychology behind things to the branding side of things and then to expanding the brand. But I always tell people that they really need to focus on the authenticity of what they're trying to say. And I think that that is, and really understanding their purpose and their traits and what they can bring to the table. I think that that's the key, really. And the things that really make the biggest successful, thriving people are the ones that maintain what I call the five P's, which are taking ownership over your own, which is power, taking ownership and understanding how your message goes out there and what you're saying. Positivity, which is, you know, not, positivity does not mean you have to be happy every day. It's just an overall broad look of, okay, this was a setback. What's my next step to move forward, right? And maintaining that. Then passion and purpose, and then perseverance. And so part of one of those exercises in my book is really understanding what grit is and how high your grit level is. And I actually had somebody the other day tell me that they were upset that their grit level was kind of low. It wasn't low. It was just lower than mine that I share, which is funny. But the point is, you can develop better grit skills. You know, that's a trait that you can develop. So it's not even something that you just want to know where you are so that you can develop it better. You know what I mean? So it's the same thing with strengths. Your five, you know, I do make the reader take a strengths test. And those strengths need to be prevalent in everything that you do from the marketing standpoint and the branding standpoint. So all of those things coming together is important.
Awesome. So when you were talking about grit, that really like piqued my interest. So how do you tell
about it?
Like, how do you tell how much grit you have and how can you work on getting more grit?
Okay, so I look to the successful psychologists of the hour, which Angela Duckworth is the queen of grit these days. She's a professor. She actually, so positive psychology, for a lot of people that don't know what that is, it is the study of, so it is scientific research and it's relatively new, right? Where in normal psychology, we're studying what is the ailment, what is causing a problem, right? And positive psychology, we're focusing on what causes an outlier, what causes somebody to succeed. And that way we're not all trying to be average, right? Because if you're trying to, you know, I guess repair, if for the lack of a better word, an ailment, then you're just trying to bring up everybody to the average. But if you're trying to study who's above that average, then you can try to become above average, right? So Angela is one of those scientists that really has broken down grit. If you haven't read her book, I would recommend it. And so she developed a test, a score, really a questionnaire for the University of Pennsylvania's website. And the link is in my book as well. And so basically, you know, I think it started out for her when she was looking at math students that she used to teach, and she was looking at students that had so much natural mathematical talent, but they were failing the class. And then you have students that were struggling, but they would ace the class, right? And so then it's like, well, what makes somebody ace the class versus, you know, it's obviously it's not talent. It can't be talent, right, if that's what's happening. So then she started working with like Navy SEALs and things like that, and she started researching all this stuff. And basically what she found out that it's really, you have to have passion and you have to have perseverance. Both of those together create grit. And then for the second part of your question, to develop grit, there's another good book Sheryl Sandberg actually put out right after her husband passed away. And it really shows the correct mindset that you really have to take to understand how to become more perseverance, more gritty in trying times. So if the world kicks you down, how do you get back up? You know what I mean? And be more resilient. And how do you pivot from one thing and really get to the other? And at the risk of talking too much, I will. One of my favorite psychology tests that they've done is loud noise. So mice, they put mice in there and they would have a loud noise on. And if they hit a button, they would learn that they could turn it off, right? So at first it was like so painful and they couldn't figure out and they were going crazy. But as soon as they found out that they had that button that they could push to turn it off, they actually spent more time and didn't hit the button right away. They didn't feel like they needed that button. They just knew that they had it there if they needed it. So that I might be putting to, it might not have been mice, but whatever.
It was something.
It's been a long quarantine. Anyways, but you get the gist of it. Just knowing that you have control over something really shifts your mindset on how to move forward. And that's such a big thing to understand. So it's just learning, and it's just reprogramming your mind to think certain ways.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to check out those books.
Yeah, both of those books are great, and they're both referenced in my book because of it. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, if people want to know more about your book and actually get it, where do they go?
Anywhere. It's a ebook and paperback.
Awesome.
And Amazon and Apple Books and Barnes and Noble and anywhere.
What's it called?
It's called From Individual to Empire, and it's a guide to building an authentic and powerful brand. And on my website at laurabull.com, I have autographed copies, so you can go there as well. But with the book, you actually get access to another section of my website that will give you the full questionnaire to help you brand yourself and all the exercises in the book, so that if you, like, for instance, if you get the ebook, you can print out everything and do the exercises by hand, and if you don't want to mess up your copy and things like that. So,
awesome.
We thought about all that.
We'll make sure that those links get in the show notes. And thank you so much for coming on. Like, this has been really, really fun.
Great. Hopefully it helps.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to share with me what they're working on, or if they have any questions about their brand, you can. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at The Laura Bull. And Facebook is at Laura Bull Branding. So.
Awesome. Okay. We'll link to those too.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
People. Okay. Thanks.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Authentic Influencer Podcast, I want to invite you to check out socialtenacity.com/secret. The Authentic Influencer Secret Society is the fundamental resource for anyone at any stage of starting, growing, and leading a network marketing business. Whether you're still trying to figure out how to get your name out there to get noticed, or you already have a growing business and you're looking for ways to train your team and get more customers, the Authentic Influencer Secret Society can help you get to the next level. With our extensive course library, monthly implementation guides, exclusive member-only discounts and perks, and a supportive community to help you get all the feedback and encouragement that you need, the Authentic Influencer Secret Society is a perfect place for anyone that is looking to grow a successful network marketing business. So check out socialtenacity.com/secret.
This has been an episode of the Align Your True North podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you are not a member of our free community, you can join us at www.opsyachtclub.com. This is a free community where we post job opportunities. Inside the community, we have trainings on how to structure your packages so you can serve your clients better, help you to know how to do discovery or strategy calls, and give you ideas of where to find your next client. We would love to have you part of our community, so you can join at www.opsyachtclub.com. Can't wait to see you there.